There are such dens within these crowded alleys as virtue scarce dare enter. Vice sits there like a grim ogre fattening on men's souls, casting around a thousand loathsome nets wherein to tangle heedless passers-by, or like a foul dragon breathing forth such fumes as virtue cannot live in. We are God-fearing people, raised under the banner of salvation, and we extend the hand of friendship to those less fortunate. But when that hand is dashed aside, what may we do?
Strike them down!
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It is his will we must obey. To do violence is to descend to the level of the beasts, the very scars who infest our streets. To do violence is to strike God in the face. Would you dare do that? You are good Christian men and women. You cleave to the commandments. And what says the sixth? Thou shalt not kill.
Tell that to Andrew Carlyle.
Aye. A good man lies dead. A family has lost its father.
Murder.
The Lord looks down with sorrow on the evil of men. Despite this cold November night, there are many here gathered. Our souls are troubled, and we wish to know what best to do. And the wind howls round us as if in answer, the cold, clean east wind, which gives nature to our very city. Let us be like that wind. Let us sweep the dirt from our streets and fan a white flame to purge the criminals who infest our lives. Without violence, but with a cold, clean certainty, let us clear out the streets and make them safe once more for decent men and women to walk upon. All this we do in the name of the Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
What are dreams? A daylight feeling reflected in some dark corner of the brain? I had dreamt that my room was in flames. Everything I own consumed by the fire, I myself burning like a paper doll. I awoke to find it was not so. I'm glad of that. And yet, an uneasy feeling lingers. James McCleavy, Inspector of Police, why are you so uneasy? The scales of justice can sometimes be in fragile balance. The institution of the police cannot be effectual without the cordial support of the community. If the law fails, the animal instincts of man wait to be unleashed, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Only the law holds chaos at bay, and the policeman stands between these two great forces, upholding the one and holding back the other. Drinking too much coffee and troubled by the possibility of becoming a burnt offering.
2 weeks, gentlemen, and we are no further on. A good citizen struck down in the streets and robbed, dead of his injuries, a young family bereft of their fountainhead.
It's a sad tale, sir.
It's an insult to justice, Constable Mulholland. This attack took place not in some squalid back alley. It happened just off the high street.
Sin kens nae boundaries.
2 weeks, Inspector. Nothing.
The perpetrator is known, sir.
Tommy Sullivan, a wild young hempy. One of our constables saw the attack and gave chase.
Yes, then lost him.
The vines of Leith, sir, they're like a rabbit warren.
I want him found, McCleavy, before we have trouble beyond our capabilities.
Caskey's vigilantes, you mean?
The Reverend John Caskey's citizen volunteer force.
A rabble. Roused.
Good citizens' concern.
They don't like the police.
How do you reckon that?
One of them cast a tongue at me the other night.
Did he miss?
It was a woman. Only just.
Don't underestimate the man. He's young, ambitious, and he has some powerful allies.
I've heard him speak a deal of sincerity as well.
But no humour. He lacks humour.
Murder is not a laughing matter, McCleavy. Sullivan disappeared on your patch. Now you find him before they start casting stones instead of turnips.
The kirk swallowed Knox and thus poisoned itself. Rectitude, the fist of iron. What many dark deeds have been done under the name of righteousness? I would rather deal with the unrepentant sinner than some convert washed in the blood of the Lamb who wishes to change the world. In my opinion, the world cannot be changed, merely tolerated. I had sewn up Leith tight as a drum. There was no way Sullivan could escape, but it was equally difficult to dig him out. The labyrinth of wynds and alleys provided a deep cover, especially for someone lying so low to the ground. Mulholland and I had already turned every thief's haunt, but we now began all over again, a task not made easier by the volunteer force. At night, on every street corner, they wore black armbands to show sympathy for the dead victim, frightening any thief in sight back into his hole. I needed the fraternity out, gabbing, gossiping, too much drink, indiscreet, not skulking behind closed curtains lest they end up hanging upside down from a public lamppost.
Someone behind us.
I heard. Is your stick to hand?
It is.
On my word. We turn and face them.
Now!
Reverend Caskey.
You walk in dark places, Inspector.
So do you. But you have more company than I.
Four good, strong men.
I only have the constable.
Though I do my best.
A single man is worth battalions if he has righteousness on his side.
I've only got the inspector.
You have more than that, should you look around you.
What do you want here?
Progress. Is there any?
Difficult. You and your good, strong men have emptied out the streets.
Is it a bad thing that a decent woman can walk the streets in safety?
Aye. This time of night in Leith, decent women are hard to come by.
Perhaps they may yet emerge.
Mr. Caskey.
Reverend to you.
I need these streets full, seething with the unwashed and unrepentant. I need the fleas hopping from one dirty carcass to another, drawing blood and carrying tales. I do not need your cold east wind.
Yet it was the east wind which parted the Red Sea.
And also scorched the grain, parched the fruit, and withered the vine.
You know your Bible, sir.
I know enough.
If cleanliness offends you, Inspector, perhaps you have caught pestilence?
What do you mean?
They say a doctor may catch the very disease he studies.
Elucidate.
For example, Jean Brash, mistress of the Happy Land. You two have a close acquaintance, perhaps. Too close.
Be careful, Reverend.
That woman and her trollops are a menace to decent folk, and that house should be razed to the ground. But you would protect it. Why?
I warn you, do not provoke me.
The truth always provokes. You protect the sinners and neglect your duty. Find the murderer, Sullivan. That is your job.
Aye, find the murderer.
Crowd gathering, sir.
I see that.
Andrew Carlyle was buried over a week ago. I spoke over his coffin and I made a solemn promise. His death will not go unavenged. His murderer will not walk free. If you cannot do your job, McCleavy, then perhaps the people of this city may have to do it for you.
Aye, we'll fight the scum. Don't worry.
Incite a riot, Caskey, and I'll have you in the cell.
Come on, sir. Sufficient unto the day.
We pay your wages, not the whores and vermin of the streets. We are honest men and women, and we have the right to ask for justice. That is all we desire.
I will not be intimidated.
Perish the thought, Mistress Brash.
And I'm not frightened.
Perhaps you should be.
Why?
Wrath of the righteous.
I can guarantee that at least half of these upright volunteers have dipped their toe in the Happy Land at one time or another.
No doubt, but that is not to the point.
Hypocrisy in this city is always to the point, McCleavy. What if it was one of their own? Would they be so hard on the chase then? What if it was a judge's son who had murdered the whore?
That death was an accident.
It was never proved one way or the other because it never came to trial. Is there anything else? Some service you desire, sir?
No. Let us leave now, Mulholland. I have warned you, Jean. I can do no more.
You're good at dishing out the warnings when it suits you. But you sent a good friend of mine away for 20 years. You didn't warn him.
He broke the law.
Is that all there was to it?
That's all there was to it.
Tommy Sullivan, if we could just get a trace on him, all this badness would blow over.
I am no informer.
And I have no need of you.
Then why ask?
It was my idea.
And a very bad one.
I was just wondering, Mr. Sprash, would you like some coffee brought in?
No, Jessie. These gentlemen are just leaving.
Over here, sir. They must have thrown the stone from here. See what I found.
A black armband.
They must have dropped it.
Or left it, deliberately.
The cowardly swine. Poor Jessie's cut to ribbons by the glass.
I warned you, Jean.
You led them to me.
That's just nonsense.
This house is a landmark of sin. It needs no pointing out.
Here. There's the stone. Stick it in your evidence bag.
I cannot protect you.
I have no need of your protection. I have padlocks on this door, and I have my own people. Good night.
You know, Mulholland, there are times I feel like a paste of meat stuck between two bits of stale bread.
An old sandwich.
Exactly. An old fusty sandwich.
Inspector McCleavy, may I have a moment, please?
More paste.
More stale bread.
Gentlemen, I have the honour to present to you Miss Jennifer Carlyle.
Your servant, ma'am.
Your servant also.
Good evening.
Miss Carlyle has called to inquire as to the progress of our investigation into the matter of her father's unfortunate...
murder. I take it from the look on your face, Inspector, that tonight has not advanced your cause.
Not so far.
Did you know my father, Inspector?
I did not have that honour.
He was a decent, kind man.
I'm sure he was, miss.
He had withdrawn money for staff wages. He came out of his office, locked the door behind him, and then was most despicably struck down. A knife in his heart. The money taken, his life gone.
That would seem to be the way of it.
My mother and sisters have gone to the country. I'm staying here until this animal is found.
I did not know your father, but I do know Tommy Sullivan. Would you like to hear?
If it pertains.
It may. The son of a street woman, father unknown, a gutter snipe, a wild young boy, a wild and insolent young man. He heads towards the gallows, surely as if the devil himself had drawn out the trail.
Are you trying to excuse him, McLean?
No. But who knows what his fate would have been had he Miss Carlyle's advantages.
You go too far.
No, it pertains. You mean he's not an animal as such?
Animals may be hunted down and slaughtered. Sullivan is under the rule of law.
And yet he committed a most foul murder.
That he did. It was only a matter of time. I knew that.
And yet you waited. It takes a crime to galvanize the law.
That is the nature of justice.
Not much comfort for the law-abiding. We buried him last week. The wind blew. It was a cold day, but not as cold as the grave. I expect to hear from you, Lieutenant Roach.
Oh, yes. I can assure you of our best endeavours.
Best? That's a superlative. I see little evidence of that so far. Good evening.
Good evening, miss.
These young women. In my day, if someone had talked like that to their elders, she would have been scalped and put to a room.
Times have changed.
What did you see? The fire in her eyes, sir. That's a fierce and bright woman.
The second one today, Mulholland.
So where do we go from here, gentlemen?
For the moment, I think to bed.
Right. For once, Inspector, we are like-minded.
When boys go first to bed, they step into their voluntary graves. I slept badly that night, and the two following. Of Sullivan, there was still no trace. He had been swallowed into the belly of Leith like Jonah by the Leviathan. The volunteer force were everywhere. They had stepped up their patrols to include daytime, and the place was like a powder keg. One spark, one wrong word, that sullen, angry silence would explode and shatter to pieces the thin veneer of civilization we paint so carefully upon our faces. A report came in of a possible sighting down by the docks. That made sense, of sorts. A desperate man might try to smuggle aboard or pay his passage to escape dancing on the breeze to the hangman's hornpipe. There was nothing better on hand. So Mulholland and I made our way there in the early morning. A cold wind sprung up to greet us from the east.
Not a soul in sight.
Like a graveyard.
Davy Jones's locker.
Beg pardon, sir?
Where sailors go to die, Mulholland. Tell me, is that a foot I see sticking out from under that fish grate?
It is too, with the leg attached.
Softly does it. Let's examine the whole assembly.
Take your hooks from off me. Are you pirates?
No, we're policemen.
But you stink.
Any port in bad weather. I was boarded and robbed last night by pirates.
When?
Second watch.
A very loose watch, I fear.
Oh, too much grog. Hazy around the eyes. Couldn't see the enemy. Lost my cargo. 28 knots.
That's quite a cargo.
I've been cruising the South Seas. I was bound for New Haven to the old mother and father. Shower them with the coin of the realm. No, they'll get nothing. Oh, what a bogus son they have. I cannot face them. I will go back to sea.
These pirates, describe them.
Oh, two saucy corvettes. Fine lines. Four sails.
Who are?
Nell and Molly. I think their names... Oh, my head. That wind cuts like a knife.
Where did they board you?
Big tavern by the waterfront.
Galloway's?
That's it, Your Honor.
I think I know them, and I may well know where to find them.
Oh, if you could get my money back.
Some of it, maybe.
That would be a grand adventure, sir.
Take them to the station, Mulholland. I have a task in hand.
But what about our search for Sullivan, sir?
The world does not begin and end with this Sullivan case. Now go.
Where are you bound?
When women of that stamp make a heavy lift, they spend the money in two ways. The one is whiskey, the other...
Shawls, bonnets, and gowns.
Exactly. They will go shopping at all hazards, and I think I know where. Now, on your way.
Come on, you, and walk well behind. You give off a fearsome malodor.
Good luck, Your Honor. If you get to close quarters, watch out for Molly. She can grapple like an octopus.
Aye, that hat there suits you now. You look like a queen. Your turn next. Where shall we go?
I know a very cosy cell down at the station.
What? Oh, it's you, Inspector. We don't need accommodation, thank you.
You will have it anyway. I thought I'd find you here at the Bridges.
It's a good place to shop, right enough. So if you excuse us...
I will not, Molly. You stole money from a Jolly Jack tar. Have you spent it all?
We've only just started. Shut up, Nell. You'll have to prove it, Mr. McLeavy.
Your dupe is sober now. He'll know you by the cut of your jib. Now come along.
Oh, have a heart, Inspector.
Come on with you.
Take your hand off me.
Need any help, Inspector?
Looks like your hands are full.
I need no help from volunteers.
What have we here, eh? Two painted whores.
Up to dirty tricks, no doubt. We'll clean them up for you.
A good duking in the canal, that'll wipe the paint off their faces. Here, I'll take this one.
That's enough. These women are in my custody.
If you touch me, I'll claw your eyes
out. We'll see about that.
I'm warning you. Lay a finger on these women, and I'll tell you where you stand. And believe you me, I'm just the boy to do it.
Come for the skinny horse.
Loose your hands from her.
One of us, a new inspector.
Aye, but one righteous man. There's worse battalions. Now pick him up and get him out of here, the lot of you, before I throw you all in jail.
You've all seen what side he's on.
Another stage. You wait.
Now, ladies, if you would do me the honour of accompanying me to the station.
It'd be a pleasure.
Crush my new bonnet.
There are worse fates, Nell. Now, come along. Come along.
Bob Guinness cannot thank you enough, Inspector. £23 still left out of the 28. More than I dared hope.
More than you deserve.
They spent £5 on the hat.
She may keep it.
Not where she's going.
And you're bound for New Haven with no deviations, eh?
Straight as a flying fish, sir. I'll take the old ones out for a stap of a meal, linen for my mother, baccy for the old fellow. Oh, you've salvaged my wreck, Inspector. God bless you. And you, Constable. I apologise for inflicting the smell of herring upon your fine person.
This fine person forgives you.
Time to weigh anchor. I am a son of Neptune. Proud of it, too. And what I say is, God bless you both.
Not often the blessing comes our way.
We may need it. Mr. Roach was called out to a special meeting this morning by the captain of police.
That seems ominous.
The very word, sir.
Inspector McCleavy, one of the women wants to talk to you.
The women? The accused, you mean?
Yes, sir. In confidence, she said. Just you and her.
Well, don't ball it all over. Bring her to my office.
I'll do that, sir.
Was I ever as glaked as that?
Worse.
He gave us the money, you know.
Who?
Terry Breeks, the sailor. He got as full as a puggy and showered us with notes.
That's your defence, is it?
The truth.
We'll see what the judge thinks. Is this your confidence?
No. You saved us for the mob. You could have walked away. I would have managed fine, but Nell, she's a weak thing.
And you're a fine guy for her.
How else is she to live? But I owe you, Inspector. You stuck your neck out.
You owe me nothing. I do my job.
I owe you. And I don't like that.
Well?
The murder night. I saw Tommy Sullivan.
Where?
I saw him go in the back door of a place. I saw who let him in.
Tell me.
The Happy Land. Jean Brash.
Are you? Are you sure of this?
It was her. It was him. I was scouting that night for trade. I saw him run down the street, a knife in his hand, blood red.
You used to work for Jean, Molly. You fell out. You're not great friends.
I saw what I saw. Between us two, bring it to court, I'll deny every word.
Of that I have no doubt.
That's us even now, Inspector. I owe you nothing.
Yes, that's us even. If Jean Brash was indeed sheltering the fugitive, then I would bring the full weight of the law down upon her pretty, fragrant neck. The iron collar. I would fit it myself. Now she had gone too far. No amount of deceit or trickery would save her this time. At first, my blood boiled at her effrontery to tax me on misuse of law while she herself hid a murderer behind her skirts. But then I remembered that vengeance is a dish best eaten after the temperature has dropped. When Roach limped back from the captain's table, bruised by remonstrance and censure, I acquainted him with events. He, of course, was all for charging into the Happy Land, banners waving and trumpets sounding, but I persuaded him otherwise. If Jean Brash saw or heard us coming, she would be warned, disappear into the labyrinths of Leith, Sullivan as well. We would have nothing. No, our raiding party must be meticulously planned and, most important, under cover of the night. In the meantime, a watch would be kept on the Happy Land with the keenest possible eyes.
Constable, what are you doing here?
Miss Carlyle, hello. I might ask you the same thing.
Curiosity, I suppose. Morbid. Is that the Happy Land over there?
It is, yes.
The Reverend Caskey mentions it in his sermons as a place of evil.
Oh, it's that all right.
And Leith as a...
A sea of depravity?
I wanted to see the place for myself. It seems peaceful enough.
By day. When nighttime falls, it takes on a different character.
But then we have the volunteers to keep us safe.
Yes, the volunteers.
No news, I suppose.
Some progress may have been made.
Indeed. How so?
I am not at liberty to say, but...
Do you know where Sullivan is?
I hope you may hear from us shortly.
Are you presently on duty?
I am indeed.
Oh. I wish you the very best in your endeavours.
Thank you, Miss Carlyle. And now, Miller!
Here I am.
One of my men will escort you to the top of Leith Walk. Daytime or not, it's best to be safe.
Thank you. I look forward to hearing from you soon.
I'm sure you will.
This way, miss.
Goodbye, Constable Mulholland, and good luck.
Goodbye, Miss Carlyle.
Who was it?
Me, Jean.
I brought you something to eat.
Salt herring and potatoes. Don't call that much.
You leave here tomorrow night.
Good. How?
A brewer's cart delivers round here twice a week. It'll stop by the back door. You slip on board. One of the big casks will be lying on its side. It has a false bottom. Crawl inside, pull it up behind you. That's you on your way.
What about the blue balls or the volunteers?
They know the man. He's never stopped.
Can I trust him?
He owes me a favour, as I did your mother. Now we're even, all of us.
Hey, Carlyle, he owned a cooperage, did he know?
Among other things.
Aye, what if it's one of his barrels? He'll be burling in his grave.
Nothing touches you, does it, Tommy?
It was his own fault. Came straight at me. Right onto the blade. All I had to do was hold it. All I had to do.
The driver will drop you at the city boundary. You're on your own, then.
I was born that way. And I've plenty of money.
Blood money.
Doesn't he show? Oh, I'll be just fine. Don't you worry, Auntie Jean.
I'm not related. And I'm not worried.
Oh, you should be. Something goes wrong. This gully of mine doesn't care who it cuts into, friend or foe.
Damnation! What's going on here, MacLeavy?
I'm no wiser than you, sir. Mulholland, over here.
What is this dramash, Constable? I don't know, sir. The volunteers, they just suddenly mobilized on us.
Aye, the police finally make a show, eh?
But we're here for you. Where in God's name is Caskey?
In God's name, over here, Inspector, watching your fine display.
No way out, Mistress. They're round the back as well, with torches.
Wait here.
Mistress! Mistress, where are you going? That's the wrong direction.
Quite a show, eh? It's nice to have a seat in the gods.
It's over, Tommy.
I don't think so.
Give yourself up.
No, I don't fancy that.
You have no choice.
Oh, but I do, Mistress Brash. That's worth to the knife, and that's not my choice.
I must ask you to remove your men, Reverend Caskey. We have official business here.
And we know the cause. Word has reached us. Sullivan, the murderer, is in that house of evil.
How the hell did they find out?
Oh, no, the daughter.
Eh? With respect, Mr. Caskey, we have our own authorized force and no need of yours.
And also with respect, Lieutenant Roach, Sullivan has eluded your authority with considerable ease. We do not intend him to escape again. He will be apprehended and then given over.
How? Piece by piece, hung, drawn and quartered.
They fired the building.
Leave them out.
Is this your idea of justice?
I am not responsible.
There he is, sir. Sullivan, at the high window.
That's Jean Brash as well.
With a knife across her throat.
Hey, McLeavy, are you coming up to dance? I'll roll out the red carpet. Jean here, she'll supply the colour.
Estate has got a trick.
Aye, she's on his side.
And if you're wrong, can you stitch her throat back together?
What about you, Minister?
She's tarred with the same brush.
If he kills her, will you say a prayer at the grave?
I will not stand over a whore.
Though there's many of your cloth who have. Come on, Mulholland.
At your call, sir.
MacLeavy, where are you going?
I never refuse an invitation to the dance.
Dancing, damn thing!
You women! Head for the door over there! My men are waiting. You will find safe haven. Help them out, Mulholland.
Oh, thank God, Inspector.
Jesse, your mistress. Which way?
Up those stairs there.
Call you with the rest. You may follow me close, Constable.
I can't see you, sir.
Well, never mind.
Took you long enough.
Sorry, James.
When I finish, you'll be a damn sight sorrier.
I want sure conduct out. Our Mistress Brash here will be sporting two now.
I have a pistol. I am a good shot, Tommy.
Even if you hit, I still whip the blade, and it's sharp enough to cut the hairs off a hog's back.
Shoot him anyway.
Drop the gun, Inspector.
has me like it. Hey, keep distance.
Why? What are you afraid of, Tommy? Come on! Put the knife to my throat. You'll get better safe passage with me than a sneak at her, mistress.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, shut up, you.
No!
I knew you when your backside hung at your trousers and your nose snorted. Come on, show me what a big man you are now. Or are you still a wee, dirty gutter snipe at heart?
I'm big enough for you, McLeaver.
Now, let's have that knife off you, boy.
You've got the knife, McLeaver. But I've landed with your gun. And I do believe I'll use it.
Go ahead.
Tommy, don't be crazy.
Aye, that's me since birth. Crazy boy. Good night, McLeavy. I hope you're burned in hell.
No sign of them, sir. And the flames beat us back.
Aye, then keep clear, Constable Miller, and bring the rest of the men to safety.
Caskey. If I have lost my two best men in that fire and I can prove your instigation, I will prosecute you to the utmost limit of the law.
I am not responsible.
She's going, sir. The Happy Lands. She's going down.
God save her.
You're all right, Mr. Sprash.
Oh, where's McLeavy?
Gone. Dead. Burnt to a crisp.
Oh, McLeavy. Oh, you...
You did well together, Mulholland. My lungs were too full of smoke.
No trouble, sir. On the farm, I carried many of
these. Yes. You made a good shot as well.
I was aiming for the arm.
Well, you blew his brains to kingdom come.
The first man I've ever killed, sir.
And the last, I hope. But think of what you've saved. Now go you to Lieutenant Roach and account me still breathing so that his terrible grief may be short-lived.
Is that irony, sir?
Go!
Sir.
Well?
His mother. When I first saw this city, she looked after me. God, I was such an innocent.
That's difficult to credit.
She was a good friend. When she died, I promised I would look after her boy.
Some boy.
Already a young man. Wild. Too late. But I kept my promise. I took him in.
Most praiseworthy. And I'm glad to say it will land you a long term in the Perth Penitentiary.
I think not so. Any number of my girls will swear that Sullivan burst in for the very first time tonight and put a knife to my throat.
You've just confessed to me.
And witnessed McLeavy. And you know the law.
Ah, Jean. Jean, your deceit saves the day. And yet your promise has destroyed you.
How do you mean?
Look around. Your kingdom, the Happy Land, it burns to the ground. All you ever had, all you ever owned was in that place. Now you have nothing. Only the clothes you stand up in. Now you're just another woman walking on the street.
That's cruel, McLeavy.
But true.
Yes. True. Now I have nothing.
Ah, well. I'd best get back to work. No doubt we'll cross swords again, Jean. You'll be plying your wares in some low tavern, and a young snab will accuse you of stealing a shilling from his purse.
You're a hard man.
I am the law.
I don't suppose you might give me a kiss for luck.
You're no longer the mistress of the Happy Land. Now you're just Jean Brash. Close your eyes. Good luck, Jean Brash. You'll need it.
Can I have a word with you, sir?
The hero of the hour. How can I deny the request?
I may have betrayed us, sir.
What?
Yesterday, watching the Happy Land, I met with Jennifer Carlyle... in the street.
Uh-huh.
I was boastful, indiscreet. I may have said more than was wise.
Trying to impress?
Yes, sir.
A mistake you will not make again. Let us leave it there.
One more thing. I couldn't sleep last night. I went round to the Carlyle house.
Are you lovesick, man?
No. I wanted to ask her if she had told on me.
This is childish. Were you to bang on the door?
No, I couldn't sleep. A mistake I made may have caused a man's death. I myself caused it.
You've saved the hangman's fee.
I stood outside. I wanted to ask her. And then I saw something which answered my question.
Uh-huh. Did you know? And what was it that you saw, exactly?
Miller, has Inspector McCleavy began his shift?
In his office, sir.
Yes. Thank you, Constable. Inspector, I thought you might like to know. The Captain of Police sends his congratulations to the station, and to you two in particular.
Splendid! Now we might all get a good night's sleep.
Uh-huh. But one problem remains. The volunteer force, despite all that has happened, the Reverend Caskey refuses to disband his followers. A little power is a dangerous thing.
So is a lit blind.
I beg your pardon?
Mulholland here is not only a good policeman, he also possesses luck, a rare combination.
Do you really mean that, sir?
Until your next mistake, I mean it with all my heart.
This way, sir.
Come in. Thank you, Mrs. Johnson. You're most welcome, Inspector.
Thank you.
I am glad to see you're looking well.
Better than last you saw me.
Yes. I'm working on my text for Sunday. I intend to sound a strong note of caution. 2 Samuel 22:3. The God of my rock. In him will I trust. My shield, my saviour, thou savest me from violence.
I'm sure that will strike home like a hammer. You could add Hebrew 11:33-34. Who, through faith, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire.
Excellent. Most apposite.
Glad we're in agreement. Stand down the Holy Army.
Why?
They set a house in flames.
It was a body house.
It's still a house.
You have no proof it was my men. The streets must be kept clean. I'm sorry. I see no reason to obey you.
My constable did.
You have the better of me here.
I do indeed. Last night, the Carlyle home, two figures on the window blind, locked in love's turmoil, but witnessed by the law.
I... Miss Carlyle, I told her about Sullivan, his death.
As she told you his whereabouts?
She fainted into my arms.
Where she lay for a considerable time.
I was comforting her.
You left a half an hour later. That's a long comfort.
I am innocent of any imputation.
Of course you are. But think of the dirty, suspicious minds people have. And you're engaged, are you not? To another. The daughter of one of your congregation. A pillar of the church. Perhaps until you get your affairs in order, Minister, it might be better if you retire from the public eye for a while. And tell your followers to do the same.
This is blackmail.
Not at all, Reverend Caskey. It is life, as I see it. As I walked away from the manse, I reflected on a job well done. A murderer punished, a nuisance banished, and best of all, a thorn in my flesh left with only the clothes she stood up in. Ah, God's in his heaven, and justice has triumphed. May it always be so.
Come on, Jessie. Put some beef into it.
I'm trying, mistress.
One good thing about the fire, it weakened this brickwork. I know it's somewhere near. Try further. Hallelujah.
Oh, you get all dirty, mistress.
No, I don't give a damn. Help me pull it out. Come on.
It's a fine heavy chest, right enough. Thank God it didn't burn.
The wood's a bit charred, but no harm done. Now, in with a key. What have we here?
Oh, treasure! Look at it shine!
Oh, some wee trinkets I've put by over the years.
Why, jewels like that, they must be worth a fortune.
They are. And once sold, they'll help put a poor woman back on her feet. Oh.
What's that, mistress?
A present. I bought it for somebody, but I changed my mind. He wronged me. He didn't deserve the token.
So you'll be selling that on as well?
You know, Jessie, I might just change my mind again. After all, to err is human. To forgive, divine.
Back on the beach, Mulholland?
Something better, sir. Especially when we're not tripping over the volunteers.
Oh,
hey, Inspector! A woman tried me to give you this.
What is it?
How would that, Kane? I'm not a policeman.
It's wrapped up well enough.
Uh-huh.
A music box with an inscription, sir.
Yeah?
On the lid.
From JB to JCM.
There's a wee note as well.
I can see that.
McLeavy, I bought this for your 45th birthday, but you angered me, so I let it go by. Now I give it with an easy heart. How can I hold anger when fortune has favoured me so? By sheer chance, I have come into a sum of money large enough to buy a house in Leith Walk and fit it out with luxuries which make my former circumstances seem positively threadbare. The first house I ever worked in here was called the Holy Land. The second, which I owned, was called the Happy Land. The new one I propose to call, in honour of yourself, the Just Land. I hope this meets with your approval. When I look down from my high and lovely window, I know I shall see you walking the streets below. Do call if you are searching out a decent cup of coffee. Happy belated birthday, your friend, I, J.B.
The woman will plague me to my grave.
J.C.M.? What's the C, sir?
Charles.
I didn't know that.
Not a secret.
So, you have Jacobite leanings, sir?
My leanings are my own affair.
You got to open it.
Charlie is my darling.
Puts a real spring in your step, sir.
It does indeed, Mulholland. Ah, well, I would have missed her anyway. Come along, Constable. Someone out there is bound to be breaking the law. And we must be after them with a spring in our step.
In The Burning Question by David Ashton, Brian Cox was McLeavy, and Siobhan Redmond, Jean Brash. Other parts were played by Michael Percival Maxwell, Forbes Massam, Liam Brennan, Tracy Wiles, and Kananu Karimi. It was directed by Patrick Rayner.